From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. The war in Iraq has cost uncounted Iraqi lives and incalculable damage to Iraqi property. Multinational corporations have won contracts for major reconstruction projects, and American troops are helping with smaller rebuilding efforts. But the United States does not pay foreign claims for property damage or wrongful deaths incurred during combat. However, when President Bush declared the end of major combat operations, the door opened for Iraqi claims against the United States for negligence. Since then, almost 3,000 Iraqi claims have been accepted. But as NPR's Ann Garrels reports, establishing certainty in uncertain situations is difficult.
Hussein Hamid Khanjar says American troops raided his house earlier this summer, arresting him and two brothers. In addition to seizing four AK-47s, soldiers confiscated gold bars and, he claims, $10,000 in cash. Hussein was released after 15 days from the detention center at Baghdad International Airport.
They returned the gold after we left the airport, but the money, they didn't give us anything of it. They said they never had such an amount.
After getting nowhere, Hussein has since hired a lawyer and submitted the 5-page claims form. Captain Patrick Murphy, a judge advocate with the 82nd Airborne, processes claims for the 2nd Brigade.
We have a dual role, obviously, with the 82nd. One is obviously to win the war, but second one is to win the war of the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people. So in my dual role is winning the hearts and minds of Iraqi people. We pay claims, claims when the government's negligent, and basically they come and they file a claim, we investigate it, and we pay it out.
The military confiscates anything during raids it considers suspicious. Murphy confirms there have been instances when American troops didn't return money when detainees were released. However, he insists this was due to error, not theft, and that when the mistake was realized, the money was paid out. In Hussein's case, the largest complaint he's seen, he says the military has no record of the money.
You know, we document people that we take in to capture. We document what property, if we take any property from. In this case, there was no documentation of money, so that's why we're looking into it.
Hussein has provided witness reports. Captain Murphy says it will now take his side at least 2 weeks to investigate. It will be up to a military officer to rule. In all claims cases, the military is judge and jury. So far, Iraqis have submitted more than 2,500 claims against the U.S. military. Of the 1,500 that have been adjudicated, only 328 have been denied. When the U.S. has been negligent, the average payout is $200 to $300. Many claims are for car accidents caused by the military or for property damage caused when the military's exploded weapons caches in an uncontrolled manner. Officials are reluctant to provide more details, but when pressed, a military spokesman acknowledged one Iraqi was compensated for property after U.S. soldiers looted his store. But while the military will now address non-combat negligence, they say there are still operations, such as raids, that continue to be considered combat and claims don't apply. The most controversial claims issues involve wrongful deaths, something Iraqis are complaining about more and more. Asked about the growing number of civilian casualties, General Ricardo Sanchez, the commander of coalition forces, has said he's trying to minimize some of the damage.
We'll be a little bit more precise, and we won't create some dissension among the Iraqi people.
Just hours after making this statement, a raid apparently went badly wrong. On Thursday evening at 9:30, a field artillery battery from the 1st Armored Division suddenly swarmed through a middle-class neighborhood of Al-Saleh. According to eyewitnesses, there was a loud sound as a nearby electric pylon exploded, a not uncommon occurrence because of the extreme heat. Majid Nouri says the troops immediately began shooting wildly. The neighborhood is littered with large-caliber shell casings. He says there were no checkpoints set up to warn drivers coming down the block a raid was in progress. Two cars that happened to be passing at that moment were caught in the ensuing gunfire. In one car, four members of one family were shot and killed, including three children. In the second, an Opel, a 17-year-old was hit, and his car caught fire.
The soldiers did not let us go and extinguish the car. We tried to help. It was on fire. We tried to extinguish the fire. We could not. They didn't allow us to go there. But when they left the scene, it was too late.
The Opel is still on the street, just a bit down from where it was initially hit.
There are bullet holes in what is now a scorched carcass. Inside, there is little more than ash.
There was a mission performed that night, then.
But at his base, Captain Mosteller, who led the raid, would not go into details. The raid has done just what the U.S. says it wants to avoid. It has alienated more Iraqis. Family and friends still in shock gather in the living room to pray and mourn the death of 17-year-old Saif. He was Raad al-Azawi's only son. In the passion of the funeral, there were calls for a holy war. Saif's father says the family plans to protest.
Yes,
of course, I will file a claim against what happened, but the chaos that we're living now, I don't know where to go, what to do this moment.
Saif's father asks on what legal grounds the Americans have occupied Iraq. While Saddam did a lot of bad things, he says it was up to Iraqis to change things, not the Americans. He looks back to the old regime with nostalgia when he says there was at least law, security, and order. Captain Patrick Murphy says that is what the U.S. is now trying to establish. Ann Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.
And to catch up on one story from Iraq, soon after major fighting ended, U.S. forces discovered two trailers. The CIA and Defense Intelligence Agency quickly produced a white paper that said the trailers were designed for making biological weapons. This weekend, the New York Times reported that a new study by the DIA concluded the trailers most likely were used to produce hydrogen for weather balloons.